Good morning. I'm used to having a translator beside me. So if I don't have a translator beside me, I may start rushing and rushing. But it's okay. My name is Isaac. I'm originally from Nigeria. I used to be a missionary in Egypt. I worked there with my wife for about 9 years in Egypt. Then we moved to Germany about 11 years ago. We live in Minden. I have a daughter, and I'm here with my friend Joel. He's one of my strong supporters. I really am happy to be here. My friend Gustav told me that he will invite me to his church. That was about 6 years ago. I waited and waited until he graduated. I waited until he had a daughter. I waited until he got a job somewhere. And then out of the blue, he said, come and preach in my church after 6 years. So this message has been 6 years old. But finally, I'm here, and I'm really, really happy to be here. Joel has had a foretaste of this place. He's been here a number of times. But me, it's my first time, and the atmosphere is good. And I really long to see when all the masks are off and all the place is full, and I can imagine what the atmosphere would be. That's a prayer. That's a prayer for all of us. We are constantly restrained by the situation in the world, and we are praying. I'm sure you're praying. What I have to share today has to do with the role of the church. The Bible says we're the light of the world and the salt of the earth, and really we're the hope of the world. The most famous scripture in the Bible is John 3:16. I'm sure you'll agree with me. It says, for God so loved the world. That's what he does. He loves the world. He didn't say, for God so loved the church. For God so loved the world that he gave his son for the sake of the world. Amen? And he still loves the world today. So he gave his church. Ephesians chapter 3:10 says, to the end that the manifold wisdom of God may be revealed to the principalities and powers through the church. So that was the plan of God from the beginning of time. He had this wonderful idea that he's going to create something called the church. And the reason he's creating the church is because of the world, because he loves the world. He wants to save the world. He wants to rule in the world. And he has chosen the church as an instrument to communicate this love. Amen? The church is the instrument to communicate. The church is a tool. The church is not an end in itself. I wish I had a translator beside me. So, the church is not a tool. It's a tool in itself. The end is the world. God wants to save the world. God wants to rule the world. And he asks us to preach the gospel of the government of God. Amen? It's the gospel of the government of God. The gospel of the kingdom of God. Amen? And the kingdom of God is not in heaven. I hope we know that. Heaven is where God is. The kingdom of God is in the earth. Jesus said, let your will be done on earth as it's done in heaven. Let your kingdom come. Okay? Just like I'm Nigerian. We used to be a British colony. That means the head of the Nigerian government once upon a time was the queen. And she lived in England. She never been to my village. But she was the head of our country. So the United Kingdom, the head of the Commonwealth, ruled over Nigeria. So the kingdom of the United Kingdom extended to Nigeria, extended to all the African colonies. She probably never been to these places, but she ruled over those places. Amen? So is the church. So is the kingdom of God. The throne of God is in heaven, and he rules over the whole earth. And he has chosen the church to proclaim this reality to the whole world, that he rules over every town, every village, every part of the universe from heaven. And so heaven is the Berlin of the world. Yeah? Just like Chancellor Merkel lives in Berlin. I saw her once in Minden, just once. And I don't know if she's been to every town in Germany, okay? But she rules from Berlin. Now, why am I doing this all this long explanation? That we may know that our assignment is to bring the kingdom into the earth. God wants to rule the earth. And one of the hopes of the gospel is that Jesus is going to come from heaven, and he's going to come physically into the earth in a certain location and rule the world. I hope we know this. That's the hope of the faith. So we wait for his second coming, when he will descend from heaven to earth and rule the earth, and all the nations will be so happy. Amen? But my main message is to us as the body of Christians, the people who have been given this assignment to communicate the kingdom of God. We have a special role. And I just want to highlight certain fundamental realities to our faith. Amen? What distinguishes us from the world around us, what we should cherish, what makes us very special, what makes us God's holy instrument, what makes us so special that he has invested himself in us. It's so important that we know the distinctive qualities that make us stand out. Amen? What makes us Christians? I have 5 points here, but I'm going to try to stop at 3. And I think that will be good enough for today. Like I said, I used 6 years preparing for this. And I have about 30 minutes to preach a message I prepared for 6 years. You can imagine. What do we believe as Christians? What is it that makes us special? What did God give to us as Christians? The first thing, the most important quality that God gave to us was righteousness. Righteousness is the most important quality. Why is that so? Because God created the whole world and he was okay. The Bible says the throne of God, the very authority of God, is rooted in righteousness. He is just right. God is right. And everything that comes from him is right. The Bible says he holds the entire earth by the word of his power. That means the reason my friend here is sitting on his stool secure is because the stool is right. If something was wrong with the stool, he'll be fallen and break his hand and then go to the hospital, and then the children have no food to eat. And then the thing just expands and expands and expands just because the stool is not right. Okay? So God is right. He's the source of all righteousness. He's the source of all order. He's the source of all peace, all government. He's the source of everything being in place. The entire earth is held together by the word of his power. He spoke and it is. He's right. He's just okay. But we fell. To fall means that we came out of being right. We became unrighteous. We became unrighteous. Everything about us became wrong. And we began to die. And the world around us began to fade, okay? The world began to be destroyed, and things were falling out of order, and we have the situation we're having today, including what we're facing now. The Bible says, out of sin, through sin came death, okay? So when we fell and became unrighteous, things became unright. Things became wrong. And so the greatest need of man was for righteousness. That things would be okay. The Jewish people come and say shalom. Shalom means everything being okay. Everything be okay. Your family, your home, your children, your job, everything okay. That's the wish of all people. That was what we are looking for. That's what we sought. So in Romans 4, the Bible says, what did our father Abraham find? You know, find. What did he discover? Just like people discover things in science, in technology. You know, Einstein and his energy formula. He discovered something. When he discovered that thing, a lot of technology, a lot of what is built today is based on that formula he discovered, right? So what did Abraham discover? What did he find? Like a man who discovers gold. What did he find? That's what the Bible says in Romans. It's a question. What did he find? He found a secret. Before him, men made a lot of effort to please God, and they could not please God. Abraham discovered that if you believe God, you become righteous. Isn't that great? That was the greatest search, men's search for how to be right, how to make things right. They made a lot of effort. But Abraham found out if you believed God, it's right. Wow. That was a discovery. That's what the Bible says in Romans. He found out that if you would just believe the word of God, if you just believe what he said, you're right. He's the father of our faith. That's what the Bible said. He found out that you could be right just by believing God. He just found that out. That every one of us here sits, we have been made okay. We have been made right with God. We become realigned to God just by believing his word. So when we believe God, when we believe he sent his son, he makes us right. It makes everything. He makes us accepted. It makes us okay. It brings us into his presence. Amen? The moment we believe God, that he sent his son, believe what he did, we are right. We don't have to do nothing more to be right. We just have to believe. Justification by faith. Now you are right when you believe God. One quality we possess as a church is that we are right. We are right. We can judge. The Bible says the righteous man judges all things, but he's judged of no one. Isn't that amazing? We are placed in a fantastic position that we can evaluate things, we can judge things, we can say how things will be. The Bible says, don't you know that you're going to judge the angels? What is man that you're so mindful of him? That you have made him just a little lower than God? Why is he so highly exalted? Why is he so placed in this high position? He's right. He believed God, and so he's right. Amen? It's an exalted position we are in. We believe God, and so we are right. We judge the earth. The Bible says we are a royal priesthood. That means we're a kingly priest. Amen? We're a royal priest, you know. A king shouldn't offer sacrifices. There's a king in the Bible that went to the temple. He wanted to offer a sacrifice, and the prophet rebuked him, and he lost his arm, and he died. Okay? Because kings are not supposed to. But we are a special group of people. We are a kingly priesthood. We rule and govern. Why? Because we're right. And how do we become right? We believe God. That's our greatest quality. We are right. And the righteous as bold as a lion. Amen? Not bold against the enemy. Because the most fearful being is God himself. Have you read in the scripture? Nobody ever saw God and still stood. Everybody who saw God fell. They couldn't stand him. He dwells in lights that men cannot approach. But when you become right, you can go boldly into his presence. And you can speak for him. And you can stand up. Because no ordinary man can stand up before God. No ordinary man can hold himself, can make his arguments before God. But we, the church, have this special position that we can stand as intercessors for the rest of humanity. Amen? We must never forget that. We are not like other men. Scripture says so. Don't you know your gods? You're not like other men. You're special. You're righteous. That's a great quality we cannot take for granted. Righteous means that we are in harmony with God. Righteous means that we can bring sacrifices and God will accept. Just like God accepted the sacrifice of Abel. And he will not accept the sacrifice of Cain. He doesn't accept all sacrifices. Amen? Don't you forget that when you come here and you come to lift up your hands, not everybody in the street can do that. It's a privilege that we come here and lift up our hands to God and we can speak to him. Not everybody can do that. We are righteous people. That's a unique identity. The rest of humanity don't have that. We are righteous. Amen? We're righteous people. That's who we are. That's our identity. We're not being humble and we're not being proud when we say we are righteous. It's just the way it is. God gave it to us. We are righteous. Amen? So we don't forget that. It's so unique to the church. And we cannot play with our righteousness. We cannot take it for granted. It puts a lot of responsibility. We can bring prayers to God. And much more, we can be used of God. The righteous man can be used of God. God searches for a righteous man to use. Amen? He needs a righteous man. He needs a man in this town. He needs a man to intercede. He needs a man to prophesy. So he looks for the righteous man. The man that can stand in his presence. The man that can hear his word. The man that can communicate what he's saying. He needs us, the church. Surely the Lord God will do nothing unless he first consults his servants, the prophets. Amen? So he needs us. We need him. God needs us to know who we are. To know that we are righteous and we are special. And that we are his tool to be used in this time. Amen? Righteousness is a great quality. We can speak for him. We can hear from him. We can intercede for the rest of mankind. And we can give life to the world. Amen? The righteous, we give life to things. We give life to things around us. In this hour, in this time that we're living in, with all this situation in this nation, we ought to give life. Amen? We must be able to find life as God's people. The church is a very special instrument of God. It's a tool. The church is not an end in itself. Okay? The church is not an end in itself. God did not sit in heaven and say, I'm going to make a church and I'm going to look at the church and be happy with the church. Okay? That was not his purpose. The church is a tool. But the church is not a tool until we realize that we are different from the world. We are righteous people. Amen? And that makes us different. And that gives us a whole big responsibility towards the world. Amen? Hallelujah. So that's the first quality, being right before God. Amen? So you can tell yourself, I'm right. I'm right. The second quality is from the first, is that we are born of God. A new birth, a new life. Please listen. We are not like the rest of humanity. We are not. We are born of God. You know, like a dog gives birth to a dog, okay? A cow gives birth to a cow, right? It's not a dog gives birth to a cat. So we are born of God. The old nature is dead. The whole man that was born of the earth, that was earthly, is dead. That's what the Bible says. Behold, all things are passed away, and everything has become new. So we are born of God. Amen? We are no longer earthly. We're no longer creatures that came from the earth. That old man died, and we are beings that came out of heaven. We are spiritual beings, born of God. We are born again. We've got a new birth, a new nature. Amen? A Christian is not just a human being, like any other human being. A Christian is a child of God. He is born of God. Amen? There's a particular psalm I think I would like to. Now, look further. You say, okay, in First John chapter 5, verse 1, this is what it says. Everyone who believes that Jesus Christ has been born of God, everyone who loves the Father, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. Then 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And the word new here is kainos. It means fresh. Fresh. Novel. You know, have you like when someone says a novel idea? Okay? It means an idea that has never been. A person that has never been. He's an entirely new being. He's not something that was washed. But it's an entirely new creation that came into existence for that moment. He's a totally new being. And we share the same nature as God. When we are born again, we share the same nature as him. 2 Peter says, as his divine power, 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4 says, as his divine power has been given to us all that pertain of his life and godliness, that partake of his life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue. So what happens is that we partake of his life and his godliness. Amen? He has called us to partake of his life and his godliness. Amen? That's what we are. We're sharing the same life of God. The same divine nature of God has been given to us. A nature we never had before. It's been given to us. By which we have been given, has been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through this you may be partakers of his divine nature. God is divine. His nature is divine. What does that mean? God is eternal. His nature is divine. His nature is not like man. When we get born again, we partake of this nature. We're not like other men. Amen? We're not like other people. Many times, because we live in this world, there's a tendency that we act like the people of the world. Amen? You see your neighbor, he behaves the same way, you behave that same way. You see your neighbor, he has a headache, you have a headache too. You do everything he does. And that's pretty normal. You're a very normal person. Okay? There's a good chance that if you are a Christian and you have this divine nature, there is a good chance that you will not act like a divine person. You will act like your neighbor. You will do everything they do because that's what they do. And you forget this. The church must not forget that we are divine in nature. We must not act like every other person. Amen? It may seem okay to do so, but it's not okay. It doesn't please God when we act like ordinary men. It doesn't please him. You know, there's a story in the Bible. Paul was a prisoner, you know, a prisoner. And he's traveling with some people in a ship. He had warned them, there's going to be storm, please don't go. But he's a prisoner. A prisoner has a very low voice, okay? And all the generals, all the captains and everybody has more voice than a prisoner. So nobody listens to him. And as they sail, the storms come. And everybody is afraid. You know, when there's fear, fear is the great leveler. Huh? When there's fear, nobody's big anymore. When we are close to death, nobody has dignity anymore. And so at this point, there's no prisoner. And then he begins to speak. He said, if you are listening to me, if you had listened to me, this would not have happened. But now, I have spoken to my God. Hallelujah. And he promised me that nobody here is going to die. Hallelujah. That's a Christian. In the times of trouble, when all the men crumble and fall, he stands up to speak. Though he's in chains, he has the highest voice. Amen? And so the captain tries to escape. He says, hey, don't let that man go. I mean, that's the prisoner. Don't let that man go. And everybody holds the man back. The statues change. Though he's a prisoner, he can stand before God. And he can speak what God has said. He's in charge of the ship. Okay? He's a prisoner. In the natural. But he is leading the whole ship. Because he can stand before God. Amen? That's what the church is. We may not have statues in the city. We may not have that. The Bible says not many men who are high are called. Not many of you are so smart. But God uses the lowly things of this world, amen, to humble the proud. And so this man, even though he's a prisoner, he doesn't act like a prisoner. He can stand before God. Amen? We are Christians. A Christian has the nature of God. Okay? And so in times of difficulties, we have to distinguish ourselves and take a position before God and speak for man. Amen? We cannot afford in this moment to act like men. If we act like men, that's not being humble. That's killing everybody. Okay? Because if Paul acted like every other person, the sheep would be gone. And everybody would be dead, including him. Amen? That's not being humble. That's being careless. A Christian cannot afford to act like every other person. When the trouble comes, we have access to God. And we must find what God is speaking in this hour. Amen? That's a Christian. I won't take long. A Christian is one with God. In John 14, 19 to 21, it says, "A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you will live also. And that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." We are one with God as Christians. Amen? We are one with God. He is in us, and we are in him. The Father is in him, he is in us, and we are in him. We are one with him. Amen? Hallelujah. Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." We are one with God. Hallelujah. We have eternal life. We have eternal life. We have a life that is godly, a life that is everlasting, a life that is God in nature. It's eternal. We are not like the rest of mankind. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, what he gave to us when we became believers, was a life that doesn't reduce. Eternal is not just in time. Okay? It's not time in that it's everlasting. That is one quality of eternal. The other quality of eternal is that it's God in nature. It's not diminishing. When you say something is eternal or something like the eternal city of Rome, it means it's always there. Okay? Eternal means something that is always of the same nature, remaining of the same nature all the time. It doesn't reduce in quality. It doesn't perish. It's not like the example I like using is like tomatoes. You know tomatoes, you get fresh tomatoes. And then 2 days later, it's not so fresh. It's reducing. It's dying. And if you come a week later, it's gone. A month later, you can't eat it anymore. The quality, the more time passes, the quality, the strength goes down. Okay? But eternal means that that quality remains forever. That's who we are. In all circumstances, in all situations, our core quality, our core characteristics remains forever. Amen? We are always healthy. We are always strong. We are growing from grace to grace. We never reduce. Amen? We are eternal. The world is not eternal. The people around us are not eternal. They are perishing. They are reducing. They are dying. They will fade away. But we are not fading away. We remain. Amen? We are a people that remain forever. We remain forever. We're not going to die. Amen? We are living forever. Please hold this to your heart. You live forever. You will live forever. Amen? Your memories are going to stay forever. You will still remember this place forever. Amen? You will still remember the people you met here. Amen? It'll be a wonderful memory of everybody you met here. It's forever. Hallelujah. As I speak of this, I feel so, it's a new thing. Just to feel that we are going to catch the moments we have now is going to be forever. Forever. Amen? We're eternal beings. We're eternal beings. So God is eternal. 1 John 5:11 to 13 says, "And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." Amen? We're everlasting. We're perpetually there. "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." When we believe in the name of the Son of God, we have eternal life. Please, I just told you some things now. We are righteous. You're not being proud when you say, "I am righteous." You're merely saying, "My name is Isaac." That's all you're saying. If I came and said, "My name is Isaac," you know, so I'm insulting you. My name is Isaac, right? So when I say I'm righteous, I am really righteous. Amen? I am righteous. You may want to accuse me. That is your problem. But I'm righteous. Amen? And you are righteous if you believe in Christ. Nobody can condemn you. Nobody. Nobody can judge you. Nobody can rebuke you. You are righteous before God. Amen? And you have the life of God. Nobody can take that life from you. Amen? One day, a king or a pilot, yes, was standing before Jesus, and he asked Jesus a question, and Jesus would not answer him. I said, "Hey, look at me. I'm Pilate. Don't you know I can take your life or give you your life?" That's what Jesus said to him, "No, you can't. You can't do nothing to me. There's nothing you can do to me unless my Father allows you. You don't have my life." Amen? We are Christians. Nobody has the power. Nobody has our life. Amen? We're eternal people. And the last quality, which I hope we take home today, is that we have fellowship with God. Amen? The first quality is righteousness. The second is we have eternal life. The world does not have righteousness. The world is unrighteous. We have eternal life. The world does not have eternal life. They are perishing. Every man you see in the world, your uncle, your grandmother who is not a believer, he's perishing. He's not like you. You may sit on the same table and have breakfast, but you're not the same. You're different. You're eternal. He's perishing. You are righteous, he is not righteous. The Bible says two will be on the same bed and God will take one and leave the other. So just because you walk on the same street and wear the same shirts does not mean that you're the same. You are righteous, he is not righteous. You are eternal, he is not eternal. You must keep this quality in your mind. The next thing we have, and I'll be the one I'll stop today, is that we have fellowship with God. We have fellowship with God. We can speak with him. We have a relationship with him. Amen? We are like the fourth member of the Godhead. We can come into his presence, and he can come into our presence. You know, nobody ever saw God before. Not even Adam saw God. Amen? Did you know Adam never saw God? He never saw God. The Bible says the voice of the Lord came walking in the garden. It was the voice of God he heard. All the time God fellowshiped with him, it was just the voice he was hearing. Nobody ever saw God. Did you know that? Nobody has ever seen God, not even Adam. He related with his voice. And the voice of God is so alive that you don't need to see him. That's funny, right? If someone came and knocked on your door, bam, 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 and you go and open the door, you expect to see a person, right? You expect to see a person. You expect to see a being. Now, the reason you expect to see a being is because you're used to seeing beings. So when you hear a knock and you open the door, you expect someone with a nose, hair. That's what you expect to see. Why? Because that's what you were born to see. Adam was not born to see any person. I have a joke. Have you heard of Stevie Wonder? Okay. You're all laughing. Stevie Wonder. Stevie Wonder is blind, like you all know. So I had this story. Another musician called Lionel Richie went to visit Stevie Wonder. And Stevie Wonder, from what I hear, he likes to make people laugh. He likes jokes. So he wanted to play a practical joke on Lionel Richie. So what he said was, "Follow me." And in Stevie Wonder's house, you know Stevie Wonder, even though he's blind, if he was living here, he knows everywhere. Okay? So he walks to his garage and tells Lionel Richie, "Go on the passenger side of the car." So Lionel Richie goes to the passenger side of the car, opens the passenger side of the car, and sits down. And so he comes into the driver's side and said, "You need to hear this cassette." And he put the cassette, and the cassette starts playing. And then he puts the car on, and then acts as if he's going to reverse the car. And this man is so scared, because he's supposed to be blind, and he's about to drive the car. And so the man said, "I've got you. I've got you," and started laughing. He said, "I have you. Now I've made you scared." Now, he is Stevie Wonder. He can do so many things without seeing. Because all his life he was born not seeing. So he can touch these things and get a feeling. He can touch all these instruments. He can play this piano. No, this is a Casio and not a Yamaha. He's so good with these things without seeing. Because he was born that way. Okay? If you were born without seeing a person, the voice will be comforting. Are you getting this? That's how we are created. We are created not to see God, but to hear his voice. Are you getting that? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. And it was okay. We didn't have to see him. Moses never saw him. Abraham never saw him. They just heard the word. And it was okay. Are you listening? We never saw him. They heard the word. And they had no need to see him. The word was okay. The word was God. Amen? And today, we hear that word. Amen? We hear that word. The word of the Spirit of God speaking in our heart. And it's okay with us. With this word, we can fellowship. With this word, we can live with. We just want to hear his voice. Amen? And his voice is okay with us. His voice is not a lesser form of him. His voice is the completeness of him. Because we Christians don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. Amen? We have fellowship with his word. Amen? We don't need sight anymore. We need the word of God with us. When we have the word, we fellowship with the word. Amen? We have the word. It speaks to us every day. If we listen in our spirit, man, we hear the voice of God. And we can live with that. The world cannot hear his voice. Amen? My sheep hear my voice, but the world cannot hear the voice of God. In this hour, If we are believers, we fellowship with his voice. We don't need the sight. We don't need to see things. We need to hear the voice of his spirit in our inward man. And we fellowship with that voice all the time. Amen? We are different. I hope these qualities, which we take for granted, really stand out for you. One, you're righteous. The world is not righteous. Two, you're eternal. The world is not eternal. Three, the voice of God within you. You have fellowship with that voice. Amen? You don't need the sound around you. You need the sun inside of you. Amen? For out of your bellies shall come forth the rivers of living water. Amen? Our life is from within. Our life is not from outside. We're not environmentally controlled. We're internally controlled. Amen? These are the qualities that distinguishes us from the world. The world needs the environment. We don't. We need God inside of us. Amen? Hallelujah. Did he bless you? He blessed me. He blessed me. Thank you, Jesus. Can we pray? Father, I thank you for your people. I thank you for the gift of your word. I thank you because you called us out of darkness into your light. I thank you because you gave us a life that will never be taken away from us. I thank you because in this special hour where there's crisis all over us, all around us, in us, we can have peace. We can have fellowship with you. We can live with you. And this life is real. I pray that everyone in this room, we remember these qualities, that they are righteous, that you have distinguished us from the world. We are your righteous people. That you have given us your life. That the same life that is in you is in us. And this life can never be taken away from us. That we have fellowship with you. That each time we come to church, each time we open up your word, each time we speak to one another according to your word, we come into a new realm of fellowship. Fellowship with the Almighty God. And that the people of this world do not have such hope. They do not have such fellowship. Oh God, I pray that your spirit will all bring us into remembrance of these qualities that you have given to us. I pray for everyone in this room that your Holy Spirit will take these words and teach it to us in the name of Jesus. Amen. So thank you for listening patiently. I feel a bit awkward speaking in English to German people. Hallelujah.